Jesus said, "I must go so the Comforter can come." Just who is the Comforter? Well, let's find out now on Chapter and Verse with Mike McIntosh.
The Comforter, because it's a very key word, and it's a word that has stuck with me all my Christian walk, that it forces me to lean on Him. And if ever there was a time that we needed a Comforter in our country, it is right now, without a doubt, it's right now. If ever there is a time in finances, in future planning for your medical health or your retirement, or what the future holds, boy, it's a Comforter right now. If ever there was a time, and I thank the Lord that my time has passed, to raise teenagers, boy, you need a Comforter. If there's ever a time to be a teenager, you teenagers need a Comforter, to say the least. You need someone that'll come along and encourage you and lift you up and strengthen you.
And I'll stand up and shout, and I'll praise you, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and sing, and I'll thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thanks for being with us for this edition of CNV as we continue to look at the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. The word used for comforter in the New Testament is parakletos or paraclete. The word means summoned, called to one's side, or called to one's aid. I can't think of a better description to the role the Holy Spirit will play in our lives if we're willing to heed to His call upon us. He's there to give us direction and to help us navigate through the pitfalls of life, especially in the area of avoiding sin. Falling in love with the Holy Spirit is our message title on Chapter and Verse. Now let's go to the Gospel of John and join Mike McIntosh for today's lesson.
Dr. Michael Blanchard in Encinitas has a medical health newsletter he sends out, and I get it every month. And he quoted a doctor in there and said, quote, "Every 8 to 14 months, the body is constantly breaking down at the cellular level and rebuilding itself, a form of remodeling and housekeeping. The more you can keep up with the renovations, the more likely you are to always feel new." So it's continual remodeling going on with your cells. God planned it that way. But just think, to have the Holy Spirit in the process of your life, that if they're sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church. Let them lay hands on them and anoint them with oil, for the prayer of a righteous man avails much. That person can be healed. All the things the Holy Spirit brings to us that the world doesn't have to offer you. It's like you have a tool bag with a whole bunch of new tools you never had before. And that you can be renewed in the Spirit. You can be refreshed in the Spirit. You can be enlightened in the Spirit. You can have truth in the Spirit. Ideas will come to you. Radios will talk to you. God will do supernatural things that other people don't see. And God taught us this about Himself. With Elijah. Do you remember when Elijah had challenged 450 prophets of Baal? And the Bible said there were 400 prophets of the groves that sat at the table of Jezebel, that she financed 400 false prophets herself, 850 false prophets. Totally, he took on in one day, and he wiped them all out. God used this man to wipe them all out. But he was exhausted, and he went and he sat under a broom bush, and an angel came and said, "Hey, what are you doing here?" And he said, "Well, I'm just resting." So he fell asleep, and he said, "No, take this need. It'll give you the strength to go for the next month of your life." Then Elijah went and he hid in a cave. God said, "What are you doing here?" And he said, "Well, there's so many bad things going on, and I'm the only one you have left." And he said, "That's not true. I have 7,000 prophets that haven't bowed their knee to Baal." You know, sometimes you may think it's all about you. And that's part of the frustration. But when the Holy Spirit comes in, you realize, wow, you're only part of something bigger that belongs to God. And you don't have to struggle anymore. But so God says, "I'm going to talk to you." And there was a huge earthquake. And the boulders started falling off the side of that mountain. Elijah stayed back in that cave. And he didn't hear God. And then a consuming fire came flying through the mountainside. And he stood further back in the cave, but he didn't hear God. And then he heard a small, still voice, and he knew that was God. You see, the world has trained us through Hollywood to look for the spectacular. Unless it's the spectacular, it's not worth bothering about. And some of you feel very insignificant, that you are a nobody, that you have created or accomplished nothing. I'll tell you what. If you're a mom and you've raised children, you're a miracle worker. If you're a daddy and you showed up to work every day, yes, you moms can clap for yourself. That's fine. Now, that's the guilt clap, because they knew they should have clapped with the others. But if you're a daddy and you showed up for work every day and got up every morning and came back and you paid every bill, you're a miracle worker. But we're told, unless you're somebody that's really outrageous and you have the big fancy limo taking you everywhere, that you're nobody. And Elijah learned that the Spirit of God comes in and he speaks very gently and softly. And other people may not hear the Spirit of God, but you have the ability to hear the Spirit of God. Somebody once said, do illiterate people get the full effect of alphabet soup? I don't know. But I know a lot of people don't get the full effect of the Holy Spirit because they block him and they don't let him do what he's so good at doing. So it was expedient that Jesus left. Verse 8 is a very clear picture of the whole work of the Holy Spirit in our lives today. And when he comes, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment. And then what I like about the Bible, it's its own commentary. Of sin, because they believe not on me. That's a great sin. That's the sin that would kill you, ultimately. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. So sin, righteousness, and judgment. His work is to the believer and to the non-believer. His work is to the church and to the world. He's working in both places. But without him in the world, no one would be pleading the cause of God today. There wouldn't be a church meeting anywhere. Without the Holy Spirit, there is no way you would have gotten up this morning, gotten dressed, and come to a church meeting unless the Holy Spirit had done it. There's just no way. It's only his power that does it. And it's his power that silently is at work within you, that his love can flow through you so you can love other people. And love covers a multitude of sin. So you are able to love with the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life where it's impossible to love. That's the wonderful thing about him. He can go into the dark world and find a person like you and me and draw us out of that darkness and love us and forgiveness and give us forgiveness. But what we forget is that we're turning around and do that to somebody else. And many times Christians don't turn around and love, except they become critical. They become judgmental. But the Holy Spirit has brought love to us. And so we frustrate ourselves by not letting that love work. Without him in this world, we're lost. But the Holy Spirit works with individuals, and he works with masses of people, huge crowds of people. As we just saw in Chiapas, 140,000 people came to hear the gospel in the meetings. And I remember this one night when I gave the invitation, it was like awe. There was silence over this huge stadium. And because the platform was on this side of the stadium, and then the quarter-mile track was there, and then the football field, and then the quarter-mile track, and then the fence, and then the stands all the way around, the people had to come out of the stands and met at the middle and then went one of two ways. And so thousands of people every night were coming to Jesus, but they came in such reverence. The silence was amazing. Imagine Qualcomm Stadium full with no noise. I mean, it was amazing. And I looked at both ways and said, what is going on? Holy Spirit. And I moved for some reason to the left side of the stage. My translator was there and said, is this not an amazing feat of the Holy Spirit? Is this not wonderful to see God moving on all these hearts? And I looked over to my right, and there was a man that had on a bright orange t-shirt. And I thought, what's Caltrans doing down here? And I looked over there, I saw that guy, and said, that's Caltrans orange over there. And so I thought, there's something special about that guy. So I said to my translator, come over here, I want to talk to this guy. And he's about three rows back from the front of the stage. And I got down, and I asked him to come forward, shook his hand. Translator started talking to him, and I said, you're divorced from your family, aren't you? Yeah. Your life's not doing well? No. You're in trouble, aren't you? Yes. You need God, don't you? Yes. I had no idea where those questions came from or how penetrating they were, but this is what this man needed to hear. I saw a movement out of my left side, and I looked, and there was obviously a Christian woman that was a counselor jumping up and down and waving at me. And I had a Bible in one hand and started going like this, pointing at the lady in front. And I said, "Is your wife here tonight?" And this lady kept saying, "This is her." The wife had come from one side of the stadium all the way around without knowing that God had led her husband all the way around from the other side. I mean, how could that have happened out of thousands and thousands of people? So I said, "Well, let's get together here." They ended up getting together, ministered to him, prayed for him. They got counseled. They both accepted the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Only the Holy Spirit could do that. How could God do that? That's because he's God. You and I couldn't do it. I mean, imagine if you were to choose. Okay, which woman is this guy in the orange shirt's wife? Over there, row 147, seat 94 on the left side. Bring her down. You know, do we have a deal or no deal? What's going on here? You know, we couldn't do it. He reproves. And I think that's wonderful when you realize that he comes and he goes to the Father for judgment because the prince of the world. Don't forget the devil is here. Not in this meeting, but he's here in this world. He's called the prince of this world. There is a guy in charge of everything going on, and he's behind the scenes. Now, he has people worship him, and some of those people worship openly. San Diego County is a very large center for witchcraft. One time, Channel 10 did a news article many years ago. They found out there were more witches in San Diego County than there were clergy, and more covens than there were churches. And I remember the guy that interviewed me on that program, he's still there at Channel 10, and he was having a horrible week that week when he was investigating this and reporting it. There is an evil spirit, too. And the prince of this world does control everything. That's why you need the power of the Holy Spirit to control you. That you are in this world, but you're not of this world. Your world is in a greater kingdom. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. And then, as he tells us what that is all about in closing, verse 12, he tells us that there are spiritual truths for us. I have yet many things to say to you, but you're not able to bear them. We're too immature. They were too immature. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you. Notice that he's not going to put a ring in your nose or a choker chain around your neck. He's going to guide you. You know, in the Romans, they had so much pressure from the Caesars. And the Christians were murdered, literally, publicly. On the Sundays, the arenas were filled to watch Christians fight with bears and lions, gladiators. Christians were slaughtered. And they went underground and they hid in what's known today as the catacombs. And they couldn't have a life. But they had to keep away from the public eye because the public had turned on them and hated them and blamed them for everything. And it says here that there's more he could say and there's more he could do, but we're actually unable to bear it. But he will send the Holy Spirit, who will show us things to come. That's very important. Falling in love with the Holy Spirit allows the work of God and his Spirit to accomplish things that man can't accomplish, education can't accomplish. That God can make you into the man or into the woman, into the image of his Son, with the Spirit of truth living inside of you. You can't fight it. You can't struggle with it. If you feel the struggle, you're probably feeling Galatians 5, that the Spirit lusts after the flesh, and the flesh lusts after the Spirit, and the two are contrary one to another, and you cannot accomplish what you want to accomplish. And you feel this thing going on inside. To know good and not to do it is sin. And St. Paul said, the good that I should do, I don't do. And the bad that I shouldn't be doing is exactly what I am doing. Oh, wretched man that I am. You ever feel like that? I'm supposed to be a Christian person. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the bondage of this flesh? That's the struggle you feel. You're trying to be the Christian. But your flesh is very powerful. You've been with it for many years. It doesn't want to die to self. You're trying. But when you stop and you let the Holy Ghost do the work, things are blessed. Who will deliver you from this flesh? Paul went on and said, I thank God through Jesus Christ there is, therefore, now no condemnation for those that love the Lord that are called according to His will and purpose. You know, you probably beat yourself up. You talk yourself down. You say you're a failure. You're a loser. I'm quitting. I'm dropping out. This marriage isn't going to make it. I'm filing bankruptcy. And you give up. Who wins? The prince of this world. But when you stop and say, Holy Spirit, who's going to deliver me from myself? He's going to tell you, Jesus Christ. And that if you'll let Jesus Christ truly be who He is, you're going to see everything completely different. And your life is going to be blessed with peace and joy and love in the presence of God. The Comforter is a guide. As many as are led by the Spirit are called the children of God. Not driven by the Spirit, led. He's a guide. Step right this way. Come over here. Turn left. Turn right. Do this. Oh, I've never done this before. Just step out in faith. Faith? What's that? Well, start reading your Bible and you'll start having more of it. Okay. And that's how the Holy Spirit will guide you. Finally, He said the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. Now, if you're saying, yippee, I'm going to Vegas tomorrow. He's not going to show you those things to come. But He can show you the future. The Bible from Genesis to Revelation speaks about the future. He can give you warnings for your family, for safety, for protection. Had we not done this and been there 2 minutes earlier, our car would have been in that accident. I remember a New York police officer at Ground Zero one Sunday night. His neck was in a brace. He had a uniform on with his medals, but he was wearing non-uniform pants. His arm was in a sling, and it was all strapped. And I saw him looking like he was in agony. And I think he had Levi's on, so he was out of uniform. But he had the uniform on so he could be in behind the police tape. They had a lot of people at Ground Zero that weren't who they said they were, that they were arresting. And there are various reasons that they were there. So I walked over to that man and I said, boy, you look like you got really banged up. Were you here when the buildings went down? He said, yeah, I was. And I said, I notice you're not in full uniform. Are you okay? He said, well, I just came from the hospital. And I cannot leave this place. And I said, well, that's one of the great dangers of working in an emergency situation is that you get addicted to the problem and you just hang out here and it's going to wear you out. And he said, no, I'm okay. I talked to this man for 45 minutes wondering who he really was, knowing that he had a gun on him and there was something strange about him. So I saw another chaplain and I said, would you come over and talk to this guy? And as I walked by, I said, tell me what you think he's really doing here. And I walked away and started talking to some other people. About 20 minutes later, this man started walking right towards the rubble into where the pit was, below where all the building was stacked up. And I thought, uh-oh, this guy's up to something. I thought he was going to pull his gun out and shoot himself or shoot other people. So I ran up to him, grabbed him by the shoulders, said, hey, stop. Hey, where are you going? I thought we had an agreement that you weren't going to hurt yourself or you wouldn't hurt anybody. And I said to him, what is this all about? Come on, be honest. And he fell into my chest. He just, boom. And I wrapped my arms. He just sobbed like a baby. And I said, what's really going on here? He said, a month ago, I came home from work. I think he worked in the Bronx, rough area. And there was a note on the table. My wife had left, never to come back, with my best friend. She didn't ever want to talk to me or see me, admitted she'd been having an affair with his best friend for quite some time. His first reaction was, I'll find them both, I'll kill them. I said, well, what are you doing right now? Things are not looking good right now. And he said, well, I went to the hospital, they fixed me up, and as at the hospital, I heard on a radio call, the fire department had found this man, my friend. I said, and, thinking he was going to do something violent, he said, I came here with the wrong intentions, but I want to walk over to the edge where they're going to lower the basket with his body, and I'm going to stand at attention, and I'm going to salute him. He's a hero. And what he and my wife did to hurt me is nothing compared to the heroic deeds that he did to help people save their lives. Now, I think Only the Holy Spirit could do that. I was ready to put on a bulletproof vest over my head, over my legs, everywhere and duck. There are times that you and I are protected, driving down the freeway, and we don't even know it. There are times when things are going on in the building you're in, and the Holy Spirit says, you're not coming down this hallway, you're protected. There are times when the devil has a plan to destroy your marriage and everything you stand for, but the Holy Spirit is there. He will guide you. He will guide you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. So this week, take every opportunity you have to see the future with the Holy Spirit and the things to come. Take every opportunity to see the outcome and say, that was the Holy Spirit. Wow. And take the opportunity to see as he sees. He sees God's kingdom. And he doesn't talk about himself. He talks about the things that he's heard in heaven. And he wants you to be on the cutting edge. And he wants you to be the winner, not the loser. He's going to guide you. He's not going to shake you. You didn't pray today, you stinking little rat, you. People get so condemned. It's like the ad. You ever read the ads? I read the ads just for comedy. Found. Dirty white dog. Looks like a rat. Been out a while. Better be a reward for this nasty little thing. No. In 1 Corinthians 13 it says, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then we're going to see face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I'm also known. We don't understand it all, but the day is coming when you're going to look into a mirror. It looks a little dark right now. And the day is coming when you're going to be this new person. And the Lord is going to be standing there and say, enter into the joy of the Lord. Shall we stand and shall we pray? Lord, we are so grateful to you that we don't need to struggle with our lives because our lives are hid in God in Christ Jesus. Help us learn that lesson. Lord, we know that even when there are struggles, there are setbacks, disappointments, anxiety and frustration, that we can always go to the Paracletus, we can go to the Comforter, and we can cry out, God, send your Spirit to help me right now. And that Spirit can guide us to the truth of any situation and any matter. So I'd pray for these beautiful men and women and their children right now, that you would send the Comforter upon them. You would allow the Comforter to be in their homes, that the Comforter would be in their businesses and at their jobs, that when people come around them or enter their doorstep, they'll know, oh, this is a sweet feeling. Lord, that their lives would become sweet fragrances because of the Holy Spirit who comforts them. May you bless them, Lord, in a way to see what is coming. May you help them be encouraged to know that the truth is living within them when they ask Jesus into their heart. May you help all that struggle today trying to be somebody that they're not or that they think they're supposed to be in the eyes of other people. May you just let that battle just cease right now. May you bring tremendous encouragement to those that are overwhelmed or burdened with life right now. May they know that the Comforter will bring every good thing from you in heaven. And Holy Spirit, we're asking your forgiveness that we don't always rely on you. But we pray from this day forward, you'd make yourself manifest to us so that we could be filled with the truth of God and the Spirit of God. Bless these people, Lord, and let each one of them know that they've made a new friend today. A friend that just wants to tell them what God's thinking. A friend that wants to inspire them. A friend that wants to warn them. A friend that wants to guard them. A friend that wants to protect them. A friend that wants to introduce them to new friends. A friend that is always thinking the best and has all the answers and can see around the corner and over the walls. A friend that will guide us into green pastures and get us beside still waters. Comforter, may you come and wrap your love around these people's souls. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Having the Paracletos, or Comforter, in our lives gives us the additional footing we need as we stand upon the rock of Jesus Christ. Next time on Chapter and Verse, we'll learn more about this person and his ministry as we continue our series in the Gospel of John. If you'd like to review this message, you can do so online when it's convenient for you. Just log on to our website at MikeMacintosh.com. That's MikeMacintosh.com and click on the teaching link. And then go to the sermon page for not only the complete series through John, but nearly the entire Bible from Pastor Mike. Again, log in at MikeMacintosh.com. As we learn about life-changing principles and applications from the Bible, perhaps you can think of a friend who you can tell about this program. We appreciate you taking part in the growth of this radio outreach. Now let me invite you to join us tomorrow here on CNV when we'll continue to learn about the Holy Spirit with Mike McIntosh. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.